speaking in tongues, still for today, or was it just for them? One Greek word splits the whole debate down the middle. Let's read the passages, look under the English, and hand you the pen. A whole debate hanging on one word. Walk into one church, and people are praying out loud in a language nobody learned. Walk into another, and you'll be told that gift packed up and left around the end of the first century. Same Bible. Same Holy Spirit. Wildly different Sunday. So before we pick teams, let's not pick teams. Let's read. Acts 2 verse 4. The very first time it happens, the disciples are filled with the Spirit and begin to speak in other tongues. This is ground zero for the whole conversation. The word itself is a fork in the road. Here's the thing that makes this so debated. The Greek word translated tongues is doing double duty. Greek, glossa. Tongue, the body part, and language. English locks in on tongues, but glossa can mean a literal human language or the physical tongue, so speaking in tongues can point in two directions at once. Read that again. The word can mean speaking real human languages or an ecstatic prayer language. The vocabulary doesn't settle it for you, which is exactly why context has to do the heavy lifting. One word, two doors. Scripture doesn't lock either one. It makes you walk through and look. At Pentecost, it sounds like real languages. Back to Acts 2. Watch what the crowd actually experiences. Foreigners from all over hear the disciples, and each one hears their own native tongue. Greek, dialectos. A known language or dialect. This is a normal, learnable language, the kind you'd grow up speaking. The crowd isn't hearing gibberish, they're hearing home. Acts 2 verses 6 to 11. The crowd is bewildered because each one heard them speaking in his own language. This reads like real, understood, human languages, a miracle of communication. So in Acts, the gift looks like supernatural translation. People hear the gospel in the language they were born into. Concrete. Understood. No interpreter needed. Notice the purpose there, too. It's not a private experience. It's a megaphone. Galileans who never studied a day of Persian or Egyptian are suddenly preaching Jesus to the whole known world at once. The gift serves the message. Keep that in your back pocket because it's part of why the two camps later split. In Corinth, it sounds like something else. Now flip a few hundred pages. Paul writes to a messy, gifted, chaotic church, and the same gift behaves differently. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 2. The one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. Here it's directed upward, to God, and nobody around understands it. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4. The one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. This is personal, private upbuilding, not crowd communication. That's a different texture than Acts. And Paul knows it can get out of hand, so he sets guardrails. 1 Corinthians 14 verses 27 to 28. Only two or three in turn, and someone must interpret. If there is no one to interpret, let each of them keep silent. Orderly, limited, and dependent on interpretation. So one Bible gives us tongues that everyone understands, Acts, and tongues that no one understands without interpretation, Corinth. Same word, glossa, different shape. Hold both, don't flatten either. The verse the whole argument leans on. Here's the passage you'll hear quoted most when people ask, did it stop? 1 Corinthians 13 verses 8 to 10. As for tongues, they will cease. For we know in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. Tongues have an expiry. The question is when. Everything hinges on two words, the perfect. Greek, tetelion. The complete slash the mature slash the finished thing. Not flawless so much as the full, finished, grown-up version, and scripture doesn't spell out here exactly what that thing is. What is the perfect? Christians genuinely read it three different ways. The completed scripture, the return of Christ, full spiritual maturity, The text says when the perfect comes and then leaves you holding the question of what arrives. The two camps side by side. Faithful, Bible-loving Christians land in different places. Here's what each camp actually sees in the texts. Cessationist reading. The miraculous revelatory sign gifts, including tongues, were given to authenticate the apostles and lay the church's foundation. Once that foundation was laid and scripture was complete, the perfect had come in the sense they need, and the sign gifts ceased their original function. Continuationist reading. Nothing in scripture clearly flips the gifts off, and when the perfect comes, most naturally points to Christ's return, which hasn't happened yet. So the gifts continue today, meant to be used in the orderly, interpreted way Paul lays out in 1 Corinthians 14. Notice the real disagreement. It isn't, is the Bible true? Both camps cherish every verse above. The split is over what the perfect is and whether Acts and Corinth describe a gift that was sealed off or one still on the table. It's worth saying plainly, godly, prayerful, Bible-soaked believers have stood on both sides of this for centuries. Some of the people you most admire in the faith would shake their heads at each other here, kindly and over open Bibles. That should make you slow, not smug. Whatever you conclude, hold it the way you'd want someone to hold a view you disagreed with, gently and with the text in hand. So, where does that leave you? Lay it out on the table. Acts 2, understood human languages, a miracle of communication. 1 Corinthians 14, a prayer language needing interpretation, kept orderly. 1 Corinthians 13, tongues will cease when the perfect comes, and a Greek phrase, tetelion, that scripture doesn't define for us in the moment. The honest tension is right there in the text, and it's why sincere believers come out in different places. That's not loving Bible ducking the question. That's what's actually on the page when you slow down and read all of it. You've now seen the passages in both directions, the Greek under tongues and the perfect, and what each camp sees. The pen is yours. Examine for yourself. Read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 in one sitting, the whole flow, not a snippet. Read Acts 2 in full. Pray over what you find and bring it to your local church, where you can ask questions and be shepherded. The Bereans checked even the Apostle Paul against the scriptures daily. Acts 17 verse 11, you're invited to do exactly that.